3:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday, and it is toasty, kids. Depending exactly where you are, 98, 99. You heard Matt DiNardo, chief meteorologist over there at 8 News, say, hey, it's going to be with us for a while. You start in putting that, what is it, the heat index? It's 110 degrees out. That's what it feels like. Man, that's hot. Even Heidi admits it. Yeah, you know, Heidi can melt. Told you this. She refuses to acknowledge the wind chill. She said it's all fictional and made up. But heat index, oh, that's real. That's real. So, listen, it's hot to the point of being dangerous. And I start with that. I know there's a lot of stuff going on, and we'll be talking about all of it, make no mistake. But it really is hot to the point of being dangerous for humans as well as for animals. And so I would ask you, please, to be aware of that and take whatever precautions you need to do what you need to do. Yes, President Trump now has not only made history, he has saved the world. The bombing this past weekend of the 3 nuclear weaponry sites owned and operated by the lunatics in Iran was vital to saving America, saving Israel, saving the Middle East, saving the world. And I can tell you that all you need to look at are the responses to understand what really happened, why it really happened, who is grateful for it happening, and then to also look at some of the absolute political hacks and frauds. Let's start with who is grateful. Well, Israel is grateful, correct? Everybody wants to point to Israel first. All right, so let's point to Israel first. Israel is grateful. Take a look around the Middle East. Who else is grateful right about now? Jordan is grateful. Saudi Arabia is grateful. Oman and Bahrain, Kuwait, even Qatar, grateful. How about that? Anybody else? Iraq. Every nation in the Middle East. Syria. Syria, which up until a couple of months ago had been operated, if you will, by the corrupt, deranged Assad family, which was allied with Iran. The leaders in Syria said thank you. Every one of the Middle East nations is grateful. Did you notice how there were no condemnations, no negative comments on the part of any Middle East nations? Why? Well, because they understood fully the threats that Iran posed. So many people, because of their anti-Semitism, and that's what's at play here, make no mistake about it. It's a good chunk of Jew hatred that we're seeing. So many people focused only on Israel. Well, you know, Israel's forcing America to do this. Bibi Netanyahu, you know how he is. I saw one post not too long ago. Well, I saw a couple of them like this, but here's the essence of it. Bibi Netanyahu, you know, he's a pushy Jew, and he must have some Epstein files on Trump, and that's why he was able to force Trump to do this. That's what they said. You would not believe the number of people. Oh, that's absolutely right. Well, yeah, of course. That's sure. Okay. How about this? How about looking at the other nations of the Middle East, since you clearly don't like Bibi Netanyahu? You clearly don't like Israel. I would say by extension, if you posted that, you clearly are an anti-Semite. I just want you to know that. You may not want to admit it, but you are. And those people who agreed with whoever this person was, and there were a lot of them, you're also anti-Semites. Congratulations. Mazel tov. Hey, how's that make you feel? But with all of that being said, please take a look at the rest of the Middle East. Those nations didn't stand up and say, how dare Israel do this? How dare the United States do this? They said, thank you. How was Israel able to operate so quickly and efficiently in Iran and gain control of Iranian airspace? They did it because of the cooperation of other Middle East nations. Make no mistake about that. Israel did the heavy lifting, the wet work, for all the rest of the world. Will Israel ever get credit? No. Will Bibi Netanyahu get credit? No. That's okay. He was never doing it for the credit. How about Donald Trump, who said, we've got to do this? See, this is the fascinating thing. I'm looking at some of the assorted left-wing lunatics who are using this as an effort to attack President Trump. You have the usual suspects. You have Tiny Tim Kaine, who despises conservatives, despises Republicans, has a special contempt and hatred for Donald Trump, which quite frankly is sick. It really is sick. But he's got it. You've got the ever-constipated Mark Warner. Well, he's against it because Trump is for it. Nothing more, nothing less. And you've got some of the reliable suspects, the usual suspects, against it because, again, they just hate Trump. All right, well, we've noted it for the record. Honest to goodness, we wrote it down so we won't forget. We put it on a Post-it note. It's hanging on our fridge. You're good to go. We got it. You hate him. But you make no mistake. You are safer today as a result of what President Trump did.
Well, you know, the other day, Jeff, Donald Trump said he's going to wait. He's going to think about it for 2 weeks.
Right? It's almost as if people don't understand misdirection. It's almost as if people have never learned magic or stage performance. And then I thought, well, maybe they haven't. One of the key things you learn when you're learning magic is misdirection. Right? I'm doing something for you. I'm doing a trick for you. And you're watching me. And you're watching closely because everybody who's watching a magician wants to catch the magician, you know, doing the magic. Okay, well, I can have you watching me. But which hand are you going to be watching? I'm going to watch both of them. Okay, well, what if I start talking to you? I'm not going to look at you. Yeah, you are. And that's all the time that I need. I know not to look at a magician when he's talking to me because he's going to, well, okay. But I'm going to say something. I swear to you, I can get you to look at me. And that's all I need to do the trick. If you're involved in some other sort of stage performance, please remember, President Trump has a long-storied, well-recognized, accomplished career on television. There's nobody that knows how the cameras are rolling better than Donald Trump.
I didn't like the fact, Jeff. I saw, you know, Trump was wearing one of those stupid MAGA hats in the Situation Room.
No kidding. You know why?
Well, because he just...
No, I'll tell you why. Because Donald Trump is today, as he always has been, on message and pushing the brand. So that's the brand, kids. And the fact that left-wing lunatics are arguing about it and crying about it. My God, I can't deal with this. Hey, sweetheart, I got news for you. You're about 6 months into this administration. You got 3.5 years left. You're going to suffer even more, aren't you? Because you can't deal with reality. He looked terrible in that hat. Did he? You're talking about it. That's right. I'm telling you how stupid it is. Okay. Rest of us are saying, look at that. Damn, that guy is making America great again. Hey, how come Tulsi Gabbard wasn't there, Jeff? She was... Oh, there's a picture of her. All right, never mind. What President Trump did was to make the United States safer. To make the world safer. This is about strength. Now, it's about peace through strength. But before you get to that peace part, you've got to demonstrate the strength.
Well, Iran just fired 6 missiles.
Right. I got it. The handful of people who may be left in leadership in Iran, and we're going to assume it's still that supreme leader, because everybody else who gets promoted, right, they have the job for about 12 hours before they turn into a fine pink mist. So I don't think there's a big collection of folks, not a big cabinet meeting happening right now with the Supreme Leader. He is apparently in some sort of a cave bunker, and he's trying to get messages out. Yeah, maybe it's time to come to the table. I think it might be a little bit too late, because I think the Iranian people have looked at this and said, okay, this is our shot. This is our chance. I'd be willing to bet United States working with the Reza Pahlavi to return to power in some way. I think that's probably a very realistic situation. Anyway, I want to get your feedback on it. The James River Air text line is always available to you, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. You text and I will look at them, and if they're really, really good, I'll share them with everybody else. 833-804-1140, the James River Air text line. What do you make of this? Are you happy with it? Are you concerned? Are you scared? Are you filled with rage and hate and contempt for Donald Trump doing this? Or are you sitting back, as many of us are, and thinking, thank you, Mr. President. Thank you. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for making the world a safer place, not just for me, but for my kids, and who knows, someday for my grandkids. Speaking of grandkids, Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent out of the FBI, is going to be with us at 3:35. I know what you're thinking. You look at Jimmy and go, no way, yeah. Jimmy is he's grandpa now. And apparently he's having a really good time with him. I'm looking at some of those photos, man. He's like the best granddad of all time. But Jimmy Galliano is going to be with us at 3:35. What about the sleeper cells? Are there sleeper cells in the United States? Are they activated now? Is there going to be some sort of other issue we'll have to deal with? Jimmy Galliano will address it. It is 3:16, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRPA. 3:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday afternoon, and, well, I got news for you. There's a fair amount of bombing in Iran as we speak. Israel, once again, striking in Iran. They struck a prison, the Evin prison. It is notorious for all sorts of torture being conducted on Iranian citizens. It's one of the places that gay people have been confined and tortured before their death sentence is carried out, because it's gay. It's illegal to be gay in Iran. If they find out you're gay, or they think you're gay, or you're using the old-fashioned word gay, but they think it means gay in 2025, they will throw you off a roof. That is their preferred method for executing gay people. So if I see a group of, quote, queers for Iran, somebody might want to have a chat with those folks. They also bombed the headquarters for the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. Good. Good. Oil prices have come down. Wait a minute, Jeff. Wasn't this supposed to be? Yeah, well, it was, right? Oh, you know, it's going to say oil, gasoline is going to be $12 a gallon. Well, remember who it is that buys the majority of oil from Iran, because Iran's oil cannot be sold on the open market due to sanctions. So 90% of the oil that is produced in Iran is sold to China, and it is it's sort of a backhand kind of a deal. Iran only receives a very, very small portion of what it would sell for on the open market. China knows they can do it. And then China doesn't even refine it at their usual refineries. They have very special kind of off-the-grid black market refineries they utilize. And when they do that, they then make it available. So what happens? Well, if in fact there's no way for China to get any oil, yeah, well, China's going to be forced onto the open market, and that's going to be a problem, right? That could and would drive up prices, because it's the free market. It's supply and demand. However, you will notice Israel has not struck any Iranian petroleum facilities. Iran's parliament says they're going to close the Straits of Hormuz. That could be problematic if, in fact, they had the ability to do it. It does not appear that they do. 540 on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Jeff, how come Mark Warner and Tim Kaine are never asked why Obama gave Iran billions of dollars in cash? Democrats are responsible for this mess. Trump is cleaning it up. That is Mr. D in Hanover. 804, Jeff, Tiny Tim Kaine almost had his hair fully combed when he made the TV rounds yesterday. Nice. Jeff, the Columbia terror student is already organizing Iran protests. Joe in Harper's Ferry, West Virginia says, Jeff, this is long past due. If we had done this in 1979, we wouldn't have the problem we have today. Dave from Claremont, I applaud President Trump's action. This was the thing that needed to be done. I'm glad he took the bull by the horns. It is about time. Wow. All right. I've got more great texts coming in. I'll share those with you. We have our dear friend, Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent, joining us in just a moment. And I know I'm late, Germ, but I have to say this. Today, the 23rd of June, is a very special day, and we have to acknowledge it. I'd like to hear a round of applause in all of Central Virginia for our dear friend, drum roll, please, Emily Morrissey. Yep, Emily Morrissey of emily'sbracelets.com. Today is celebrating her 27th birthday, and I'm telling you, we all need to celebrate Emily's birthday today. Happy birthday, Emily Morrissey. We love you. 326, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 335, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday, and it is hot. 98 or 99. A couple of spots, I guess, have actually hit the 100-degree mark. The heat advisory, the extreme heat warning, has been extended. So again, I know we're asked a lot of questions. Is it hot enough for you? It is hot enough for you. It is dangerous hot just about for any living creature. So be aware of that. Don't forget the pets. Don't forget yourself for sure, but don't forget the pets, man, because when you add in that heat index, we're talking about 110, and it is just brutal. We did it, did we? Did we take out the nuclear program, the nuclear weaponry program that Iran has been operating for all these years? Well, it certainly seems like it. What happens next? What about national security concerns? What about sleeper cells in the United States? Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, is someone who has a spot-on perfect perspective on all of this, and that's why we're so fortunate to have him join the program today. Jimmy, thank you for being here, sir.
Jeffrey, my friend, it's a little warm down there in Central Virginia, but I want to tell you, we're up here in New York, we're pushing 95 degrees today, so we're wow. We're boiling the same as you are.
Well, then I would say I feel your pain. There you go. That's it. We're all getting through it together. But, you know, I will remind you before we get into the slightly more serious stuff, a tall, cool, frosty beverage will help you deal with the weather. That's all I'm going to say.
True words, my friend, were never spoken.
Thank you. See, I am good for something. All right. Jimmy, we, the United States of America, dropped six of these bunker busters, took out, as I understand it, this nuclear weapons facility. We had Tomahawk missiles, like 400 of them, missiles coming from 400 miles away, rather, hitting the other two facilities. Tell me, where are we? What are the national security implications right about now?
Well, Jeff, I'm always amused when I hear people, try to spin the argument for the Iranian mullahs. And look, Iran is a country of wonderful people and wonderful culture. And unfortunately, since 1979, and you and I are old enough to remember the 444 days where, our embassy was taken over and our people, our soldiers and diplomats were held hostage there. Until President Reagan was elected and blessedly had them return.
Right.
It's been 46 years. We've had this very strained relationship with them. Much, if not all, but I would say much of the terrorism that is imported around the globe, Jeff, is sponsored by Iran. That's why, the unfreezing of assets during the Obama administration and the sadly named pallets of cash that was given back to Iran We know it wasn't going towards, you know, the health, safety, and welfare of the Iranian people. It wasn't feeding the hungry and housing the homeless.
That's right.
And, Jeff, I say this to some of my friends, some of my military friends, and some of my neighbors here in upstate New York, you know, who, well, you had to give these, you know, the sanctions a chance to work, and the JCPOA, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action that, you know, Ben Rhodes and the Obama, you know, team put together. Yeah. Jeff, here's my question to them. Why did we have to get bunker buster bombs that could travel 300 meters below the surface of the earth in order to take out places where they were enriching uranium well past what they were allowed to do? Why were they down there in these deep, dark caverns? And it was to keep it away from the world. God bless Israel. God bless the United States. Now, that's my spin-up, Jeff, to you asking me, what are the national security implications here? Well, last week when the president was in Canada for the G7, he left rather abruptly. We all knew that something was up. He returned, met with his national security team. And apparently there, NBC News and some other outlets have reported that he had gotten word that Iranian sleeper cells were, you know, set to be or poised to be launched if needed inside our country. Now, you know, for the folks that this might be a little too much inside baseball on, but what is a sleeper cell? So we know that terrorists have a goal, right? And their goal is to do violence or intimidation or the threat of same in order to pursue political, ideological, or religious goals. Well, this checks all the boxes with the theocracy and the mullahs and in Iran.
Yep.
What is a sleeper cell? So a sleeper cell is where a country secretes some of their operatives inside another country, and they go about their life. They're living next door. You don't know who they are. And they are waiting for direction from their hostile nation state, in this case Iran, to potentially launch some type of terror attack. Now, you know, what is the reality of that? Well, you know, the border czar, the former ICE director, Tom Holman, was on the news the other night, and he talked about, you know, at the southern border. And we always talk about how dangerous it is to leave that southern border, about the migrant that's coming here from Mexico or Guatemala and just wants to, you know, make a better life for his family. But it's right. The fact that they found Iranian passports and prayer rugs, you know, secreted along the 2,000-mile border between the United States and Mexico. Now, you know, could these be innocuous? Sure. Could these be, you know, indicative of something more sinister? Absolutely. And, Jeff, as we always talk about, and I'll wind my soliloquy up with this, the bad guys only have to be right once. The good guys, we can't make a mistake. We cannot allow something to happen. The bad guys just have to get lucky once. So is this a concern? Yes. Is the intelligence community on this and had heads up about this and had been monitoring this before? The answer is yes. But that's kind of where we are right now, Jeff, is that we should be on some type of alert. I believe the National Terrorism Advisory System put out a warning over the weekend, and basically they talked about a heightened threat environment involving cyber operations and hacktivists and things like that.
Okay.
But we're obviously most concerned about a terror attack where somebody would try to hurt Americans, and that's what the intelligence community and law enforcement is poised to prevent right now.
Now, Jimmy, let me remind everybody, Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, is joining us. Jimmy, let me ask you, because you talked about how the sleeper cells in particular, they are waiting for the instructions from their handlers in the enemy territory. Now, I'm looking at Iran and I'm thinking, I have never seen a better recruitment poster for the Peter principal and mid-level management than what's happening in Iran, because everybody gets promoted. They're in the office for about 12 hours before they turn into a fine pink dust. So is there anybody left over there to give orders to the sleeper cells?
Well, I'll say this, and Jeff, you and I have great respect for the IDF and for the Mossad over in Israel. I mean, their grasp of intelligence, their courage and backbone, this tiny little country, that has taken on a nation of 90 million people, a nation that sponsors, you know, terror cells across the globe, helps finance Hamas, certainly supports Hezbollah. It's incredible what they have done. Jeff, this is, remember the argument right after 9/11 where the Patriot Act came into place and people were concerned, and it comes up every time this piece of legislation has to be renewed in Congress. And what is, to sum it up, what does the Patriot Act allow us to do? Mm-hmm. It allows us to eavesdrop, to intercept communications with anyone that might be in communication with a foreign terror organization or a foreign terrorist. Now, it's different than what we can do to U.S. citizens, right? We can't eavesdrop without a court-ordered warrant. But the Patriot Act allows us to gather metadata. And then, Jeff, it's just the painstakingly time-consuming, you know, effort of grinding through that. You know, you have to translate it from Farsi and Pashtun and Urdu and Arabic or any other language, Russian, Chinese, and try to determine, you know, what is something sensitive enough that we need to act, that we need to do something. And that's where we are right now is basically listening. We have signal intelligence, we do the intercepts on, and we have human intelligence. We have agents that are out in the field and interacting with folks and trying to detect or determine if a sleeper cell exists. And again, the other threat you have, Jeff, are the lone wolves. Is it somebody that just watched the news and got angry at the United States and got angry at the ICE deportations and got angry at the bombing of the 3 nuclear sites in Iran and decides to do something without any communication? Those are the tough ones as well. So, Jeff, as you can tell, law enforcement has a lot on their plate right now to keep us safe.
Let's talk about some of the activities that we might see from law enforcement. There are people, as you say, they're concerned. We talk about Patriot Act, and we got to listen in to what's coming from Iran. We see folks here in the United States who are already trading flags. I mean, it's amazing to me to watch the leftists who, you know, they had a Mexican flag and then they traded it for a Hamas flag, and this week it's an Iran flag, right? Whatever the issue of the day is, they've decided they have to protest that. Do we continue seeing that sort of stuff? Does law enforcement have to continue focusing on that, even as, well, as an example, in Los Angeles? I mean, we're still seeing all sorts of activities out there. Do we have enough law enforcement officers on the line to handle all of these threats at once?
Well, I mean, the question is, do we have enough law enforcement to handle it? Yes. The question becomes, do we have the political will and stomach to enforce our laws, which says, yes, the First Amendment allows the right to free speech, the right to peaceably assemble, the right to air your grievances publicly to your government. It allows all that. It doesn't allow you to block traffic. It doesn't allow you to hold people, commuters and motorists, essentially hostage because you want to get out and protest something. And Jeff, it's almost glorious, and I say that dripping with sarcasm because I know sarcasm is something you appreciate. But it's almost glorious to watch the intersectionality where you have, you know, people that are so high on women's rights, and then they salute the Iranian administration where women get beaten and hanged and tortured because yep. they colored their hair or they exposed their arms or they didn't wear a burqa. It's just it's absolute insanity, Jeff, and to watch the cause du jour on the streets of New York City right now. It's almost like America has fatigue. We have fatigue yes. with all these protests. You know, it's like 1968 at the Democratic National Convention, every single day in New York and L.A. and Atlanta and Richmond, and people are exhausted by it. We want to go to work. Yep. We want to do good things in our country and treat everybody equally. We want to be sympathetic to causes. But I think, Jeff, the fatigue, people are getting worn out by this. And I think you saw that in the last election in November, and I have a feeling if the tunes don't change before the midterms, you may see more of the same.
That's boy, that's great insight. I would hope that even the people who are in Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's district are looking at her going, all right, we get it. But, you know, how about doing something for this district? Because she was out there when the The Columbia guy got released. I saw wrapped in a keffiyeh, and she's out there to celebrate with him. I don't know. Some of this stuff, I must say, is just lost on me. But we talk about law enforcement. We always do this. Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, is with us. Jimmy, you serve on the board of directors for the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund. I happen to believe it's a vitally important organization. I urge people to support it regularly. And obviously, when you're on with us, I really want you to take a moment or two, remind everybody what the organization does and how we can help.
Well, Jeff, I always appreciate this. And look, the organization has been around since the mid-1990s. It was started by former Attorney General Edwin Meese, who is still on the board and still weighs in on our meetings and is just a font of information and guidance. And it's a wonderful mission, which basically sets out to provide material support, financial support for law enforcement officers who were unjustly accused of crimes. And, Jeff, no better time than today where we have so many of these progressive prosecutors in a lot of these deep blue cities that seek out reasons to charge police officers for doing their job. So your listeners can go to policedefense.org. That's policedefense.org, and take a look at the cases. And if you want to make a donation, you can make it to that specific officer or that specific case. And Jeff, we always appreciate you giving us a platform to mention the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund.
Absolutely. Well, again, you're doing vital work. I'm just thrilled with what's going on. By the way, I shared with my listeners, and everybody was shocked. I said, you know, Jimmy Galliano is very, very active in the world of granddadding, because I'm looking at some of these photos, my friend, and for all of your hardened military law enforcement career, dude, you're just pulling this off. You're like everybody's favorite grandpa. I'm taking notes every time I see one of your pictures get up there.
Well, if you think when you have your first baby as a parent that it softens you, Jeff, wait until you hold your first grandchild. It is a cathartic moment, and it's been a joy. The nice thing is you get to keep them for a little while, and then when they get fussy, you get to hand them back to their parents. I think that's pretty much the plan since the dawn of time.
I love it. Well, Jimmy, I always appreciate you making time, brother. Deal with the heat. Get down south at some point. We'd love to have you, of course, and we'll talk to you soon, sir.
Look forward to it, Jeff. You take care.
Thank you, my friend. That is Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. Policedefense.org, that is the website for the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund. It is Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 4:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Monday. It is hot. Now, the official temperature right now, gazing out my official weather window here at my official thermometer, it is 100 degrees. And that's with no heat index. That's just the index. It's hot! And it is dangerously hot. Just keep that in mind. That's all that I do want to remind you of. It is hot, and you've got to take some precautions. You know, if you don't need to be outside, by all means, don't be outside. Take a look around. Is there somebody that was forgotten, right? You've got neighbors, you've got older people, you've got younger people, you've got pets. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff that you need to be aware of. And so I'm just asking you, if you don't mind, please, keep that in mind. All right. And it's going to be with us. It's not like we're just going to deal with it today and then everything will be fine and not to worry about it. It is with us through the week. And then when you do add in the heat index, just for the record, it's about 110 degrees. That's what it feels like. Carl Carlson's going to join us just about a half hour from now, 4:35. He joins us every Monday afternoon. A lot of people taking a look at the markets, taking a look at oil prices. And I've heard conflicting experts. I always love conflicting experts because you do have to sit back and say, well, I'm pretty sure one of you is wrong. And I don't know if that makes you an expert for next time, but is what it is. I have listened to a number of people who have said, well, here's what's going to happen. Here is what's going to happen. Oil prices are going to shoot right through the roof. Straits of Hormuz are going to be closed, and then it's going to go even higher. Okay. I'm taking a look at what is going on right now. Do you know what is going on right now? Oil prices have fallen. Today was actually a pretty good day to go and fill up with gas. I know, I did. Price was lower today than it was last week. Remember where oil from Iran goes. It is primarily China. 90% of the oil produced in Iran is sold to China at a very discounted rate because Iran is not able to sell oil on the open markets. They're not allowed to. So the only option they have is this sort of unofficial backhand deal with China. Oh, we'll buy it from you. I mean, what else are you going to do with it? You're going to sip it all day in the hot sun? I don't think so. You don't have the capacity to refine it, so we'll buy it from you. But we're not giving you full price. So 90% of it goes to China. Iran then has a challenge to turn that into hard currency as well. If they close the Straits of Hormuz, by the way, the so-called Iranian parliament apparently voted. How many people are left in the Iranian parliament? I'm thinking you could probably fit them into an old-fashioned phone booth at this point. And I don't think anybody's running to be the new member of the Iranian parliament. But they allegedly voted to close the Straits of Hormuz. Anybody hear about that? No. You know why? Because they haven't closed the Straits of Hormuz. And I should state for the record, if they did try and close the Straits of Hormuz, that would be the very worst decision that they made. Because I got a sneaking suspicion that the guy in the red hat in the White House would say, what's that? They closed them. They closed the Straits? Go open them up. And get me a Diet Coke while you're doing that. Thanks. Right? I mean, it's not going to be a big debate or a question. Now, you've got the usual nitwits on the sidelines who just hate Trump. And it's becoming clearer and clearer and clearer. All of their motivations are because they hate Trump. It's a shame, but it is what it is. So you and I have to deal with this. We do. We have to deal with it in the real world. But at the moment, we are safer. We are safer today, thanks to President Trump. Much safer today, thanks to President Trump. Does anybody know how to fix a computer? Today was a day to have Craig Peterson on, I wish. My laptop, it can't find its boots. And I'm paraphrasing, but that apparently is the problem. It has like the blue screen of death that turns into a black screen of, well, I'm not feeling that well, that says can't find the boot up something or other. So I don't know how to get it fixed. It's got to get fixed because there's stuff on there that, of course, I haven't put anywhere else. Why? Because I'm a moron. Okay, that's all. Yeah, I mean, I got you. You don't have to beat me up over it. But yes, I'm an idiot and I didn't do what I was supposed to do. But I still have to somehow, some way get that information. I got files, I got photos, all the good stuff is on that stupid laptop. And this will be the last laptop that I purchase that's not an Apple product. So Craig Peterson will be happy to hear that tomorrow. I'll be looking for a new laptop, for an Apple Mac or whatever they make, and I'll be shifting over there. But first, somehow, some way, I've got to get that stuff off of the old laptop. So if anybody is one of those computer gurus, I know there are people that actually know how to do this stuff and they fix this stuff. Send me a note, would you please? I mean, you can text me too, now that I think about it. The James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Or you could send me an email, jeff@thejeffcatshow.com. All right, let's take a look at some of the texts coming in on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Jeff, 804, says, good afternoon. I am so disappointed with Trump. Everything is expensive, and we are going to war. Everything that Trump said he would avoid. Are we supposed to just keep supporting him, or should we hold him accountable? As the days pass, I wonder if I made the right decision to vote for Trump. Very disappointed, worried citizen. I'm willing to bet dollars to donuts you didn't actually vote for President Trump. That, no, I'm serious. I'm willing to bet that you're just putting that out there because you think it's a nifty text, but that you really did not vote for Trump. But oh, that's okay. Look, let's pretend that you did. Prices are not higher than they were. In fact, prices have come down. Inflation is down. Eggs. What about eggs? Eggs are now a fraction of what they cost before President Trump took office. So that has happened. Price of oil is down. What was the other thing he was upset about, allegedly? Everything's better. Oh, we're going to war. We're not going to war. This is not a war. It's fascinating as well to listen to the left and go, oh, you know, he had to come to Congress. See, all of these military actions taken by Democrat presidents are just fine. They didn't get any permission from Congress. Do you know that Congress has not actually declared a war since World War II? World War II was the last war that Congress declared. Do you know how many military actions there have been since World War II? 180. In other words, you don't know what you're talking about. And from RVA says, Jeff, good afternoon. Stopping Iran by extension, their proxies is long overdue. The plans and diversions were so well thought out, and no hiding or obfuscation like the Dems did during Abbey Gate, among others. All right. That's right. Bill from Powhatan. Jeff, I think with what President Trump did was amazing. He just cleaned up prior administration's trash, and it's good for us to be on top again. I completely agree with you. Mr. Katz, as an American, I give full support to the president for his efforts to protect our country against foreign aggression and support his efforts to defend our allies in the Middle East against aggression by bully Islamic regimes. Iran has been the world's biggest bully for decades and has always been about killing innocent people, American citizens and Jews. If Israel and the U.S. didn't do this, we'd be in a much worse situation if they got a nuclear weapon. You're right. You're right. Let's see. We did that one. We did that one. Jeff, everybody losing their mind saying Iran is going to strike us back somehow in one of our cities. The first thing that stands out to me is that they have been trying to do that since September the 11th. They've not been all that successful. I didn't think then, nor do I think now, that they're just sitting there waiting for an opportunity to strike us. I literally do not think they have the ability to. Think about it. Yes, they sent missiles. But they told us ahead of time. They told Qatar ahead of time, and they sent them in the least populated area they could. I simply don't think that they can do a big thing. Okay, well, yeah. 804, it's funny to see Steve Bannon and Alex Jones agree with the far left against the bombing and saying now that Trump is controlled by Israel. All the kooks are uniting. Well, yeah. Okay. I don't even know what to say. I don't know. I didn't know that they were agreeing on that, but that is absolutely outrageous. All right. Carl Carlson joins us at 4:35. It is 4:15. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 21. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. I am reminded with all of the heat, because I had to do a little bit of driving today. We were recording a Blue Friday segment. I'm not going to tell you exactly who it is with. You know, we don't normally announce that ahead of time. But doing some driving, and, you know, it's 100 degrees. You're going to be running your air conditioner. Even I, who railed against air conditioning for years, even at 100 degrees, I'm running the air. And if your car has not had its air conditioning looked at, can I suggest that you reach out? Honest to goodness, Stan and I were talking about it last week. Either Certified Auto Repair or Arts Automotive Service, they've got free AC performance tests that they will do for you. You can go online to the websites. They've got a special coupon that you can download to do that. But it's well worth doing. And a personal piece of advice, again, related to the heat. when you get in your car, most of us know that you're going to have the recirc button on, right? You want to take the air that's in the car and recirculate it once you get things rolling. But bear this in mind. When you get in your car, it's 10, 20, 25 degrees hotter in the car than it is outside. So even though it's 100 degrees outside, you're now talking about air inside that's 120 degrees. That's not the air you want to recirculate. So you start it. You can actually open the windows a little bit. You can turn the air on. Have it with the outside air coming in. That is actually going to be cooler than the air that you have in the car. And you want to give it a minute or two. Seriously, don't get right in the car. Give it a minute or two. Get that really, really hot air out there. Get your AC working properly. And again, I would suggest reach out to a Certified Auto Repair or Arts Automotive Service because they are providing free air conditioning performance tests that can let you know what's going on. A lot of times you got one of these little O-rings, little seal that can go bad. Might be that the Freon is low. That needs to be recharged. They're relatively easy fixes. You know, it's not going to be the end of the world. It's not like my laptop. Did I mention this? Have I cried enough about it? No, I didn't even mention the whole first hour. But my own personal laptop at the moment, well, it's dead. All I need it to do, I think, is to boot up one time. And I can get everything off of there and then throw it in the trash. Well, no, I wouldn't throw it in the trash. But I can get everything off of there. And if anybody knows how to do that, let me know. Seriously, send me a text. The James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. If you're in that business, there might be somebody that's in that business. What about the Tech for Troops guys? I help those guys out all the time. Guys, do you have like a magical wand over there that you can get my stuff, my files off the laptop and then give them to me so that I can then put them on a brand new computer that I will have to purchase because, well, I'm going to have to purchase it. I don't really have any choice. Got a chance to catch up with Rich Herrera this afternoon. Don't get to see Rich all that much, but when I do, it's always great fun. And I'm hoping you're checking him out in the morning. It starts at 6 in the morning, Richmond's Morning News. He had Jason Meares, the Attorney General of our beloved Commonwealth, on this morning. We're actually going to listen to some of the audio from that in a little bit and all sorts of great sound related to Iran. It's all straight ahead, along with Carl Carlson, Carlson Financial. 425, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 435, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday. Yeah, it is. I'm hearing good things out of the markets. Did you hear that? Hearing about the oil prices going down. I mean, all sorts of crazy stuff that needs to be addressed. This situation in Iran, we were told, was certainly going to impact prices or factories, or oil, or all of this stuff is in the mix. And it impacts folks like you, folks like me. It could very well hit you in your 401k, what have you. But I want to get a sense of what is going on, how it's playing out. Every Monday, I'm thrilled to say that my financial planner, my financial advisor, Carl Carlson from Carlson Financial, joins us. And this is Monday, and here is Carl. Carl, thank you for being here, my friend.
To be here.
Well,
a lot going on out there.
Yeah, one or two things, I guess. I just love you to dive into it. I mean, people were talking about how this would impact the market negatively and oil prices were going to spike. And neither one of those things seems to be true right at the moment.
Yeah, it's interesting. So that was a lot of the original news that was coming out. Mm-hmm. Was market was going to drop a lot because of the attack on Iran, and then it's so interesting how these things bounce around like they do. So and then that was going to cause oil prices to go up, skyrocket. And actually, when I heard that, I was thinking, you know, it might be good opportunity for the U.S. to jump back in there with some oil and keep the prices down and benefit the United States. So that wasn't totally a bad thing in my mind. But then Iran attacks the U.S., and that ends up being a good thing. Okay, that was a little curveball, but yeah. I guess it was because they didn't attack us as bad as we thought maybe they would have. So that just kind of tells you, though, how silly the stock market can be from time to time, and why you have to build yourself a little protection from that silliness so that you can understand that long-term it's not going to impact your ability to retire or become financially free. It's just going to be waffling and wavering in these short-term periods when all of these kind of strange things are happening, and you don't necessarily have to go into shock, you know, when all of the media goes into shock about, oh my gosh, stock market's going to tank now with U.S. and Israel attacking Iran. Mm-hmm. Just know that you've got a nice plan, and no matter what's happening in the market, it's not going to affect your financial future.
Okay.
There you go. Makes it easier to take from a financial standpoint, at least.
It sure does. I want to talk a little bit about that, if you don't mind. Carl Carlson is joining us. Carlson Financial. Carl happens to be my financial advisor, my financial planner, getting us to where we want to be. I mean, a great situation. So you talk about building the plan, and we've talked about that for years. You built one for us. You've tweaked it. You've changed this. You've done this. You've done that. There are a lot of people, I think, as I just chat with them, I get the sense they say, well, you know, I'm going to do blank. And it always seems to be one thing. That's not good, right? You really do have to diversify your interest in this.
Yeah, to really be able to. There's three things you're trying to do, and you're trying to do them in unison. One is you're trying to have some sort of liquidity with your money in case you need it quickly.
Yep.
So that's liquidity. Another one is you're trying to have some degree of safety so that when markets are crashing, you have some money that's not. And then the third one is you're trying to get your money to grow. Uh-huh. And so you're trying to get all three of those to work together.
Yeah.
And it's not easy.
Well, no. It would seem to me that sometimes, you know, one piece might almost conflict with another piece if you don't know what you're doing. At least that's my perception, because I don't really know what I'm doing. That's why I trust you.
Yeah, totally. So if you're seeing great growth in the stock market and you want to be all in there to get those nice rates of return, but then all of a sudden something happens, tariffs hit or something, and the market reacts in some weird way, whatever might be happening, then, oh my gosh, I don't have any safety. And then that's not when you want to go to try to get safety. That's why you've got to plan all this stuff ahead. You don't want to sell growth things when they're down, when the stock market's down. Then you have to, it's best that you've already built the plan that's going to take you through whatever comes our way.
What about Social Security, Carl? Because this is another thing that I think many people are counting on. There was just a story the other day. It's going belly up, allegedly, a year before it was supposed to go belly up. And this so-called lockbox is just filled with a lot of promises written on the backs of semi-used cocktail napkins. And, the age keeps getting moved. It's like Lucy and Charlie Brown moving the football or moving the goalposts. You could, in theory, if I understand it correctly, you could retire at age 62, according to Social Security, right? I would get, when I hit 62, I could say, dear Social Security, give me my money. I'm not going to work anymore. That could work, right?
Yes, that could definitely work.
Okay. But,
depends on the case, you know, for some people, because it's a lot less money if you take it at 62, it's a lot more money if you take it at 70, and then anywhere in between, you know, it just goes up every year. But then that also can impact your spouse's Social Security, depending on when you or your spouse takes their Social Security.
Oh, I had no, well, obviously I had no idea. So you say it's less, Well, all right. So I'm just, again, layman. So it's less at 62 because they figure, well, you're going to be collecting it longer. If we can hold you off till 67 yep. or 68, then, you know, we'll give you a little bit more. Is it a sizable difference?
Yeah, it's. I'm just going to kind of throw a number out that I'm used to seeing. Maybe you might look at 20, probably double, maybe 2,200 at age 62, but 4,500 at age 70 a month.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. So that's yeah. a real difference. That's a real difference.
It's a real difference.
Yeah.
Yep.
What about depending on that? I mean, do you tell people, yeah, you can depend on that, or boy, we better build the rest of this financial house and hope that it's there as the lovely gutters we add at the end?
In general, I would say if someone is under the age of 50, you need to not rely too heavily on Social Security and maybe half of what you're seeing, and at least maybe not age 62. Maybe you could start at 65. But there may be other things happening where they're testing, you know, your income. If you make $1 million a year, you're not going to get Social Security. But that number may not be a million. It might be 100,000.
Yep.
You know, we don't know. So yep. that's yep. why. But for somebody that's 60, you know, it's, you're probably not going to have a big impact. Mm-hmm. It's going to be more the folks who either haven't started Social Security or those that are, I would say, 55 and up. I don't think they'll be as impacted as the ones that are further on down the road. But what they're saying is they can't promise starting about 2033 or 34. Yeah. They shift that year around quite a bit, as you were saying. But they're saying they can't promise to pay everything that they have promised to pay. So,
yeah.
And that's because that's when the fund runs out. You know, there's the funny money is in, okay,
yeah.
there's really not money there because they borrowed that money the government has, but they are trying to keep track of it on their books, and so they're saying now when people are paying into Social Security, the FICA that comes out of your check, that they just turn right around and send that out to the people that are receiving Social Security, and there's less money coming in every month than there is going out,
yeah.
and there's that surplus in that funny money account that they're
yeah.
drawing down, and it's that 2033-ish date that surplus money is going to be gone, and then they can only pay about 70 or 80% of what they've promised, unless they do something to fix it.
Well, here's
what probably will.
Yeah, here's what I'm going to say, my friend, and I will make it clear. Carl Carlson from Carlson Financial is not saying this. Jeff Katz is saying it. Carl, as we speak, I am enjoying a brand new podcast series starring Sebastian Maniscalco all about Charles Ponzi. And all I can tell you is that if these involved little stamp coupons, all right, that's all I'm going to say. All right. But I said that, not Carl. Don't go looking at him.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
All right, Carl, for those that would like to get some sage advice and actually protect their assets, grow their stuff, and I don't know, who knows, maybe they're going to retire at 62, 66, they really want to do it, they need to get in touch with you. What is the best way?
Give us a call, 844-CARLSON, or reach out to through our website, carlsonfinancial.com.
I love it. Thank you, Carl. That is Carl Carlson. Carl is my financial advisor, my financial planner, and he's doing a great job for us. I'll tell you that. We are absolutely thinking, we'll hang out for a little bit, but don't do anything you don't like doing. You know what I mean? That's a good place. Financial independence, that's a really, really, really good place. I'm going to share with you the social media post, Truth Social, from President Trump. I'll share that with you in a moment. It is 446, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 451, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Hey, I'm doing some housekeeping here, if you will. Old friend of mine reached out and said, Jeff, I've got some, I don't fully understand what the device is, but he has some sort of a reader. If you can get the hard drive out of the thing, Well, I can't call it a computer. Can I call it a laptop now if it's not laptopping? But he said if he can get it out, then his magical reader can read it, which would be great. Now, the rest of the computer might just be garbage, but who knows? I don't know. Well, but that was nice to hear. Appreciate that, Alan. Appreciate it very much. Our computer guru at the Radio Factory said, well, if you can bring it in on Thursday, I think I can help you out. That'd be good. So I'm working on it, man. And if you've got suggestions, just let me know. Tomorrow, I should tell you, Congressman John McGuire is going to be here. He is my friend as well as my congressman. As you know that, he's a former Navy SEAL. If there's anybody that fully gets what it is that President Trump is doing in making the world a safer place, it's going to be Congressman McGuire. And Congressman John McGuire will join us tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Tom Leonard and TJ Leonard are going to be dropping by. Really looking forward to chatting with them. Hey, we've got Independence Day coming up. And I know there are a lot of traditional menus. I just love throwing hot dogs on the grill. I do. And nobody else in my house seems to enjoy hot dogs anymore. I don't know what it is. But I've got great memories of eating hot dogs as a kid. There's just something about it. It's a comfort, I think. So I did want to get some other ideas. So my friends, Tom and TJ from Tom Leonard's Farmers Market over in Short Pump, they're going to be dropping by and get some ideas. You know, maybe you're going to do lobster. Maybe you're doing burgers. Maybe I don't know. But they're going to have some ideas. I'm looking forward to that. Here is the Truth Social post from President Trump. Just came out a few moments ago. Quote, Iran has officially responded to our obliteration of their nuclear facilities with a very weak response, which we expected and have very effectively countered. There have been 14 missiles fired, 13 were knocked down, and one was set free because it was headed in a non-threatening direction. I am pleased to report that no Americans were harmed and hardly any damage was done. Most importantly, they've gotten it all out of their system and there will, hopefully, be no further hate. Hate is all in caps. I want to thank Iran for giving us early notice, which made it possible for no lives to be lost and nobody to be injured. Perhaps Iran can now proceed to peace and harmony in the region. And I will enthusiastically encourage Israel to do the same. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America. I got to tell you something. There's just something about it that tickles my funny bone here when he's ending these Truth Social posts talking about bombing Iran and the rest of this with the one line, thank you for your attention to this matter. I am just laughing out. I love the guy. What can I tell you? I love the guy. Hey, you know Stan Andruski, don't you? My brother from another mother. You find him during the week at Certified Auto Repair, 8401 Oakview Avenue in the Lakeside section of Henrico. He's also Saturday mornings, 8 a.m., the host of In the Garage with Stan Andruski. For Stan, everything is bigger and better. You know, he's got 107 degrees on his 10,000 acres out in Hanover. Wow, his heat index is 182 degrees. See, everything with Stan is just bigger and better. By the way, all kidding aside, if you have got your car and you're thinking, I don't think my AC is working as it should, Certified and Arts are doing that special. Stan talked about it last week on this show, talked about it on In the Garage. You can get your AC in there. There's no charge. That's my point on this. I'm telling you about it. You can get your car in there and get the AC performance check done either at Certified or at Arts. And that's for free. And they'll let you know what's going on. A lot of times, just a very little minor thing, not a huge expense. Maybe the Freon needs to be recharged. Maybe it's a seal of some sort. But if I were you, with 100-plus degree temperatures this whole week and heat indices up around 110, I'd get that done. 456, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 506, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday afternoon. It is hot, and it's just the way it's going to be. Had somebody send a note. Hey, listen, Jeff, it's always been hot in the summer. You're absolutely right. We didn't need no stinking water. Well, I don't know. I I grew up living in the city in Philadelphia, so we all had we had hoses. Many of us figured out how to turn the fire hydrants on. I know that there's some going, I don't even understand what that means. Well, in the city, there's nothing to do. I mean, recreation-wise, for the most part. Not entirely, but for the most part. We had so-called neighborhood pools. None of them were very close. None of them were necessarily the greatest. I mean, it was what it was. We were poor, and we lived in the city. But there were fire hydrants every street. And so kids figured out how to turn them on. The water came flying out. We played in there. We burned our feet on the asphalt and all the rest of that. Then the police would come around. The fire department would come around. They would shut the fire hydrants down. And then, I don't know how many years ago, they said, well, rather than just shut them down entirely, because it just kills the water pressure. And then, God forbid, there's a fire. And you say, well, those six idiot kids over there are responsible for this whole street going up in flames. And that's not a good look, right? So they came out with these sprinklers, and they would turn those on. So that was pretty cool. Let me share with you President Trump's post on Truth Social, and then I want to take a listen to a few things. Jason Biaris was on with Rich Herrera this morning on Richmond's Morning News. I'd like to take a listen to some of that. I'd like you to listen to it. Some may have listened to it live. Good for you. If you're not up that early or you haven't listened in a while, I would urge you to listen. I mean, really, that's what I would tell you. I would urge you to listen. But we'll listen to some of it this afternoon. And then we've got some priceless audio on the Iran situation. So here's what President Trump wrote on Truth Social. Iran has officially responded to our obliteration of their nuclear facilities with a very weak response, which we expected, and have very effectively countered. There have been 14 missiles fired, 13 were knocked down, and one was, quote, set free because it was headed in a non-threatening direction. I am pleased to report that no Americans were harmed and hardly any damage was done. Most importantly, they've gotten it all out of their system. And there will hopefully be no further hate. I want to thank Iran for giving us early notice, which made it possible for no lives to be lost and nobody to be injured. Perhaps Iran can now proceed to peace and harmony in the region. And I will enthusiastically encourage Israel to do the same. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America. I mean, it is written like it's a memo hanging by the water cooler, right? Hey! Stop whizzing on the bathroom floor. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Yeah. All right. Let's take a listen to a few things. Let's start. Let me pull this up here, Germ. Give me one second. Blah, blah, blah. Yada, yada, yada. Doodle, doodle, doodle. Hang on. What? Oh, da, 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 da. Yeah, well, okay. All righty. Miara's audio. There we go. All right. Let us take a listen to cut number two, talking about some of these addiction numbers.
Well, this is what I first of all saying. The political arena right now, the average American, and you're right, when you talk to everyday Virginians, they live their lives so utterly completely different than what you see even in our newspapers and on our cable news networks. If you watch their cable news networks, you read the op-ed paper, you think that everybody in this world walks around with a red jersey or blue jersey, and they put it on, they just yell at each other. The reality is everyday Americans don't live their life that way. Your average American works with, worships with, or neighbors with people that think differently than they think politically, and that's the beauty of democracy. I remember a wise Marine once told me that if you go to Arlington National Cemetery and you walk among those Stars of David's and those crosses, there's not an R or a D next to anyone's name. And to never forget that someone who thinks very differently than you politically has given the last full measure of devotion to this remarkable country we call home. We should always be mindful of that. Now, we're going to have differences. We have huge differences in our opinions. But I will tell you one thing that I have been focused on as Attorney General is dealing with and addressing this addiction crisis that we have faced nationwide. And I think it is so critical. And so often when I speak to groups, because statistically speaking, anytime you speak to a gathering of more than 20 or 30 people, someone in that room has been touched by addiction, either they themselves personally, or they've had a loved one that is struggling. And I love to tell them, We have a misnomer in our society that asking for help is a sign of weakness. It's not. Asking for help is one of the most beautiful, noblest things you can do. And your friends and your family will be forever grateful that you simply asked for help to beat the cycle of addiction. And the good news is, and one thing I think that is bipartisan as far as the work we've done that we've been recognized, is that Virginia is not top 20, top 10, not number five. We're the number one state in the entire country in the drop in addiction deaths.
There you go. I love it. I love it. I really do. I think it's so vitally important with what it is that we're trying to do. It is simply, truthfully, honestly about saving some lives. Some of the leaders in this arena have been folks like Chesterfield County Sheriff Carl Leonard. You know, Carl Leonard figured out, okay, I have arrested a lot of people when I was on the street as a member of the Chesterfield County Police Department, and I've kind of turned them over. But now what? Now what happens to them? And you saw with Sheriff Leonard the establishment of that HARP program. There was a great piece in the Wall Street Journal the other day all about our beloved Chesterfield County Sheriff. If you haven't read it, I mean, we get the Wall Street Journal, so Heidi actually gave me the hard copy, and it's just great. It's just a great story, and it just talks about some of the many things that Sheriff Leonard has done. But I thought it was so touching to see a national publication like the Wall Street Journal come and visit little old Chesterfield County and talk to Sheriff Leonard and tell everybody across America about it. I was actually a couple of years back, well, 5-6 years ago, because President Trump was actually president at the time. There was an event over at the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration, the Richmond District Office, and President Trump's then director of drug control policy was there. A really cool guy, and I was thrilled to just be part of it, but he went to great lengths to talk about the great work that Carl Leonard had done even back then. So it's just nice to hear that. And it's nice to hear Attorney General Jason Meares. Jason, as you know, teamed up with our First Lady, Suzanne Yunkin. Right? One of these pills is too many. That's just the case. I know that there are people who look at certain drugs in certain way. Oh, that's not a big deal. This is a big deal. I've never been a drug guy, so for me, it you know, I just don't get all of it. But here's what I can tell you. As a human being, if somebody has that dependence on whatever the substance is, and it is screwing up your life, and it is the motivating factor for doing bad things and hurting the rest of us, then I got news for you. I want to help you get off that whatever that substance is. That's all. And maybe it's selfish because I don't want you breaking into my house. I don't want you hurting my family. Or maybe there is a part of him that says, well, I do care about you. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your motivation is, so long as you're actually doing something to help. It'd be nice to have the second one. You're going, yeah, I really do want to help. But even if your motivation is simply to make sure that people are not repeating their crimes so that you're not victimized, that's okay, too. I think it's okay. So anyway, congratulations to Jason Meares for doing that throughout these past 4 years. God willing, he's going to be returned to office. And it was nice to hear some of that. If you missed Rich's conversation with Commonwealth of Virginia Attorney General Jason Meares, what I would urge you to do is head on over to newsradiowrva.com, newsradiowrva.com. You can listen to the conversations in full over there. We're going to listen to some of the comments made about Iran. And some of them, it's going to give you the heads up now. There's going to be a lot of coffee sipping that goes into this because you're going to hear them. And if you have not swallowed, you're going to spit that coffee all over your laptop or your windshield. And you don't want to do that. 516, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 521, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. All right, a quick reminder of the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. All right, I'll get to a couple of good texts that are coming in. Some of them are very, very good. And then, well, you got a couple of crazy people that I'm telling you, every single day from early in the morning till late in the day, they write on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. And they hate everything that is said on the air, on the station. I know, I just keep thinking to myself, good. I mean, you're paying very close attention, which is lovely. Please. You're listening all day. That's great. The most important part, obviously, listen between 3 and 6 in the afternoon. And you can hate every second of it. I'm cool with that. I am not here to get elected to office, as I have said many, many times. I have zero interest in politics. I hate politics. It's like a necessary evil. But Scott Jennings is the only reason that anyone ever should watch CNN. Why? Because he is able to bring down all of these pompous blowhards with one or two sentences. And, well, at CNN, I am going to advise you. Hang on. Oh, man, I got a whole page of these things coming up. Hold on. You may just want to put your drink elsewhere because you're going to have to sit before all of these. Cut number one, please.
This, of course, is splitting both parties. We touched on yours, Scott. But Xochitl, Congressman Josh Gottheimer posted this on X. He says this, quote, "Tonight, the United States took critical and decisive action to protect America. This is not a Democratic or Republican issue. Dealing with the Iranian threat is central to America's national security. The world is safer because of the actions of our brave service members." Mm-hmm. How widespread do you think the sentiment is going to be? I mean, historically, there's been a lot of support for Israel in the Democratic Party. That has been, you know, quite different since, you know, in recent months. But how far do you think that goes?
So I think that there are a lot of questions that are being raised by Congress right now. And the reason that they're being raised is because normally you would need congressional approval for something like this. And I know that my friend here is laughing a little bit, but I will say,
we've covered Congress for a long time, but they gave a lot of that away.
In order for the president to take action without congressional approval, he needed to show that there was a real true threat to the United States and that the strike would not cause escalation. The problem with this is that normally you would have a group of lawyers from all across the agencies that actually would make these determinations. Trump did away with that at the beginning of this administration. So it's unclear what type of legal advice Trump was getting. Department of Defense usually puts out a statement and says what the legality is of any strike that the president is taking without congressional action. Here, we have not heard from DOD what is happening there. So what will be critical in the weeks to come is Congress must see the underlying intelligence about how they were in direct threat and how the U.S. needed to respond without congressional approval. But as of right now, I have not seen that.
You're arguing that after 46 years of the Iranian regime killing Americans, threatening Americans, saying over and over and over again, death to America, that maybe they were just didn't mean it, that they're fiery but mostly peaceful Iranian butchers? I mean, I don't understand. This is a righteous struggle.
Oh, yeah, you know, mostly peaceful lunatics. Yeah. Well, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Let me... There's so much more to come, and we're going to squeeze all of it in if we can. I do want to remind you about WRVA.com. That's where you're going to go and take a listen. Jimmy Galliano, a retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, joined us earlier today, 3:35 to be exact. But you're thinking, wait a minute, Jeff, I wasn't here at 3:35. Not to worry about it. You head on over to WRVA.com, and you will be able to listen to my conversation with Jimmy, because Jimmy really did give us the lay of the land when we talk about some of these so-called sleeper cells and things of that sort. So we'll do that. Again, you have the opportunity. I urge you to take it. You go to WRVA.com. Check out Rich in the Morning. We got some really good stuff going on these days. And I just always encourage people to check it out. That's all. 526, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 536, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday. And it is hot. Although it is cooling off. I mean, may want to grab a sweater. We're down to 97 at the moment. It's 100 or better just about every day this week. And then you put the heat index in there, which apparently is a thing, and it's going to feel like 110. Wow. Ken says, Jeff. Actually calls me Mr. Katz. Oh, come on, Ken. It's just Jeff. You may have to remove the hard drive and connect it to another working computer to recover your files. All right. Okay. Well, okay. 804 says, Jeff, your computer is just having a bootload issue. It's actually not a big deal. I could fix it or get it to boot, whatever you'd like to do, but believe me, buddy, it is no big deal. Okay. There are a lot of people telling me that, and I am really, really grateful that they're telling me that, and I sure hope that it's completely and totally true. And I will keep you apprised. I promise you. I promise you. I want to take us all to school. Well, actually, I just want Maggie Brennan from, I don't even know. Is she CBS? ABC? NBC? Pravda? I don't know. Whatever it is that she does. She does some talking head show on Sundays, and she's like the main talking head. But the last couple of shows, I don't know why they're still inviting people from the White House, why they're still inviting people from Team Trump, because they just mop the floor with her. And well, but here's another one, and it's Secretary of State Marco Rubio. This is cut number 10.
So this mission was a very precise mission. It had three objectives, three nuclear sites. It was not an attack on Iran. It was not an attack on the Iranian people. This wasn't a regime change move. This was designed to degrade and or destroy three nuclear sites related to their nuclear weaponization ambitions. And that was delivered on yesterday. What happens next will now depend on what Iran chooses to do next. If they choose the path of diplomacy, we're ready. We can do a deal that's good for them, the Iranian people, and good for the world. Yeah. If they choose another route, then there'll be consequences for that.
Let me follow up on a phrase you just word, weaponization ambitions. Are you saying there that the United States did not see intelligence that the Supreme Leader had ordered weaponization?
That's irrelevant. I see that question being asked on the media. That's an irrelevant question.
No, they had that everything is the key point in U.S. intelligence assessment. You know
no,
that.
No, it's not.
Yes, it was.
No, it's
that
not.
The political
no,
decision
no,
had
well,
not been made.
I know that better
made.
Than you know that, and I know that that's not the case.
But I'm asking you whether the order was
about.
Given.
And the people who say that, it doesn't matter if the order was given. They have everything they need to build nuclear weapons. Why would you bury things in a mountain 300 feet under the ground?
Right.
Why would you bury six? Why do they have 60% enriched uranium? You don't need 60% enriched uranium. The only countries in the world that have uranium at 60% are countries that have nuclear weapons.
Right.
Because they can quickly make it 90. They have all the elements. They have. Why do they have a space program? Is Iran going to go to the moon? No. They're trying to build an ICBM.
No, but that's a question. That's a question of intent. And you know, in the intelligence assessment, that it was that Iran wanted to be a threshold state.
How do you know what
use
the intelligence
this
assessment
leverage.
Says?
I'm talking
how do you
about
know
the
what
public
the intelligence
March
says?
Assessment. And that's why I was asking you if you know something
well,
more
that,
from
but
March.
But that's also an inaccurate representation
given.
Of it. That's an accurate representation of it. That's not how intelligence is read. That's not how intelligence is used. Here's what the whole world knows. Now, forget about intelligence. What the IAEA knows. They are enriching uranium well beyond anything you need for,
yes.
for a civil nuclear program. So why would you enrich uranium at 60%?
Right.
If you don't intend to one day use it to take it to 90 and build a weapon?
Right.
Why are you developing ICBMs? Why do you have 8,000 short-range missiles and 2,000 to 3,000 long mid-range missiles that you continue to develop? Why do you do all these things? They
Understood.
Have everything they need for a nuclear weapon. They
okay.
have the delivery mechanisms. They have the enrichment capability. They have the highly enriched uranium that is stored.
Yes.
That's all we need to see.
Right. Well, and
especially
that,
in
so
the hands of
a
regime that's already involved in terrorism and proxies and all kinds of things around. They are the source of all
yes,
instability
and no one's
in the
disputing,
Middle East.
No one's disputing that. I'm not doing that here. And they were censured at the IAEA for that enrichment and for violating their non-proliferation agreements. I was simply asking if we had intelligence that there was an order to weaponize, because you said weaponization ambitions.
Well, we
which
have intelligence that they have
they
everything they
it.
Need to build a nuclear
Got
weapon,
it.
And that's more than enough.
Okay.
Oh, poor Maggie. She is such a dolt, isn't she? And I keep asking myself, is she actually saying anything that is originating in her head, or is she simply regurgitating things that she's hearing in her earpiece? Exactly. No, that's exactly correct. Here's what I think. Just a behind-the-scenes thing. Now, remember, I used to be a CNN regular. This is 1,000 years ago, so don't get all excited. But every other Friday, I was on whatever the morning show was at that time on CNN. And I'm just telling you that a lot of the producers on these shows have an agenda, but they also, I mean, we know that, but they also decide they don't like people. And they'll put people. Oh yeah, they will. They'll put people in positions that are not complimentary. So I'm wondering if this Maggie Brennan has just pissed somebody there, and they're just feeding her stuff that they know she's going to be embarrassed by, and she's just maybe not bright enough to not do it. I don't know. I'm just throwing some stuff out there, see if anything sticks. And if it does stick, we're going to need a magical drill tip on a bomb. NBC, again, allegedly a big-time impressive news outlet, has somebody on there who believes that the Bunker Buster bombs had a special magical drill. Cut number 3.
The fact that the president says that this main site was successfully hit, it could only be successfully destroyed by those ordinances that you are referring to, and in a way they're not only bombs, they're actually almost like drill tips that are able to penetrate deep in the ground and then at a predetermined distance or depth detonate. Mm-hmm. What are the possibilities exactly that any other ordnance could have been used?
Very high.
Wrong, but thank you very much. Thank you for playing our little game, and we have some lovely parting gifts for you. I got nothing else to say on it. No, I really don't. What else are you going to say? All right, well, here, what about CNN? All right, we'll go back to CNN for just a little bit. It pained them, I think, to talk about the strikes. Cut number 2.
It was interesting you were saying that this is like the capstone military strike of the post-October 7th era. And Sabrina, you were pointing out 25-minute operation for 75 strikes. So it was designed for impact. Unfortunately, we don't know what that impact is. What are you looking for going forward?
It was an incredibly complex operation. I mean, you cannot deny the professionalism of our military when it came to this operation. I think there's a lot to be determined, and the battle damage assessment is ongoing on how effective these strikes were. Essentially, what's going to happen over the next few days is different intelligence agencies across the administration are going to be looking for chatter to see what people are talking about, how damaged things are. And then, of course, there's the human sources, either on the ground or all around the world, that they'll be getting collection from. I think it's still too early to tell, but to say that some of these facilities have been severely damaged, I think that is accurate, and that's what you heard from the chairman yesterday.
Oh, okay. They did you hear him? They legitimately actually had to say, well, you know, it worked. Well, I mean, we don't know how well it worked. Maybe it didn't really work all that well. But, you know, at least for now, it's, Well, okay, you can't deny that, but Trump still stinks. Okay. They can't give it up. They can't give it up. You know who's in that camp right now, I think? Now, I haven't listened, and I, with all due respect, I have zero intention of listening, anytime in the foreseeable future. But my friend Howard Gutman, I think, has just lost his ever-loving mind. I love Howard. I really do. As a human being, he's aces. He's salt of the earth. He's a mensch. But he's a lunatic as well. And his hatred for Donald Trump is just off the charts. So that's the big complaint I get from people. Like, yeah, I don't listen to him anymore. I was tuning in for In the Garage, and I forgot to change the station. And the next thing you know, I'm getting yelled at. And, well, all right. I don't know. I do wish him well, though. I do. In his and his future endeavors related to President Trump, which I think will be nil, zero, none. 545, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 551, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. You know, the only traffic person that we get comments on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140, is that news traffic lady right there, Samantha Stone. Sharon Stone? No, Miss Stone, the Stone lady. Yeah. And we get really great ones. Everybody loves her. Does a great job. Now, we do get one or two comments. Who's the other one, Jer? Miss XYZ or something? Or, I don't know, something like the ABC? She's not a big hit. What can I tell you? 804 says, Jeff, I think I heard over the weekend 100-plus Marine grads yell in unison, kill them all. Yeah. You know what's interesting is that our strikes and the Israeli strikes on Iran have been so precision. No civilians targeted, no civilian buildings targeted. The only thing were the weaponry, those nuclear facilities. That was the mission. That was the mission. It's funny as well when we hear about, quote, regime change. Secretary of State Marco Rubio smartened up that Maggie what's-her-face over there on TV and said, well, you know, it's not about regime change. This is about stopping the crazy people who run Iran from having a nuclear weapon. That's all. And those crazy people are getting to be fewer and fewer and fewer. It's a death cult. And I guess in many ways, Israel especially has done them a favor. They're all shouting about how they're cool with death, so, well, there you go. Here's a dose of it. There's an opportunity in Iran right now. There really is. I mean, the Persian people have been so industrious throughout the centuries. And Iran, let me tell you something. Iran, prior to the revolution 46 years ago, was a thriving, prosperous, free nation. And by Middle East standards, especially free, even though the Shah, I mean, was royalty. Women were able to do anything they wanted to do. They can't do it now. God forbid you've got a woman walking down the street and somebody sees her hair. Somebody will come along and beat her to death. And you're gay? I mean, I don't care. But not something you want to advertise if for some reason you find yourself in Iran. All sorts of things. I mean, Jews in Iran, forget about it. There's still a handful of Jews left. And as I understand it, they're almost all in hiding at this point. But prior to the revolution, there was a thriving Jewish community in Israel. In Iran. And there was great connection between Iran and Israel. Great connection. Again, the Persian people and the Jewish people in the Middle East have been together, working together, friendly, all the rest of that, for millennia. So I personally am hoping that this will signal a change in Iran overall. And I do thank President Trump for having the testicular fortitude necessary to say, move them out, boys. Let's take that stuff out. Now let's get back to the other stuff we were doing. I see great hope. Tomorrow, we'll talk about all of this with Congressman John McGuire. Looking forward to chatting with him. He will be coming, actually, from a briefing on this very matter, so hopefully there will be something he can share. We're going to have some great ideas for your Independence Day get-together. My friends Tom and TJ from Tom Leonard's Farmers Market are going to join us tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Do yourself a favor. Listen to Rich Herrera and Richmond's Morning News. And go over to WRVA.com. Listen to this show, every part of it, in case you missed it or just want to share it with your friends. Have a fantastic evening. Stay cool. Stay hydrated. God willing, you and I get the chance to do it all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.